We continue towards the end, well, right at the end now of Luke chapter 10. So it's page 1042 in the church Bibles. Verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen.
Morning, everyone, and do keep Luke chapter 10 open in front of you if you've not, if you put the Bible down, page 1042 in the church Bibles. Wonder how you felt when you walked into a sheet on the chair. Oh no, one of those sermons. Something else to do. I would have loved to sort of fit the church's chairs with some sort of thing for these to miraculously appear mid sermon. But maybe actually having to have them on the chairs when you came in is helpful, because if it were me, I'd probably walk in thinking, "Here we go again, something else I've got to do, something else I'm not very good at, another thing for the tick box list. I'm busy enough as it is, don't you know? The last thing I need is one more thing on my plate. The last thing I need is to be told something else I'm not doing very well at." Well, maybe that's just me, but maybe that's our society, where we're often busy, often rushed, often just feeling just to-do lists and things pile up. And if we're Christians, then we've just got a whole bunch of Christian stuff to add to that. And it can just feel like it's do, 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 more, more, more. And great, the preacher's just added to that burden list. So there we go. Wonderfully, Jesus has a different message in Luke chapter 10. I preached last week, and my kind of, as I was preparing the Good Samaritan, challenging, but beautifully challenging, was what was kind of going through my mind. It's a wonderful picture of this kind of other person-centered love and care and unity within the church and divisions broken down and so many good things, but it's challenging. Well, how wonderful then to have Mary and Martha straight after that, which is, there's not really a word of challenge in here, but encouragement and balm and comfort. And so my prayer this morning is, if you did come feeling a bit weary, a bit, okay, I'm heading to church where I'm just going to be told another bunch of things to do that I'm then going to go and try and do this week, my prayer is that through Christ your burden might be lifted. Because we get this beautiful, with actually no real instruction, rather we just get this beautiful scene, this beautiful picture of Jesus relating to these two women and how they are relating to him. And we see that Jesus is saying, time with him is far more important than activity for him. Time with Jesus is far more important than activity and busyness for Jesus. And for some of us, that might be what we need to hear in a church with lots going on, lots of great things. But time with Jesus is more important than busyness and activity for Jesus. I'm going to need to keep preaching that to myself. In fact, I did have to kind of have a moment this week as I was busily preparing. I suddenly realized the irony of, am I getting so kind of must prepare a good sermon and missing Jesus in all this? I've had to hear that message, but it's a message of grace. It's about time with Jesus. We're in Luke 10. We've maybe still got Luke 9:35 echoing in our ears. The Transfiguration, where the voice from heaven says of Jesus, "This is my Son whom I have chosen." And then there's one command. And it's funny, only preparing Mary and Martha now, have I looked back and seen possibly the surprise. "This is my Son Jesus who I have chosen." What should you do to Jesus? What should you do in relation to Jesus? Worship him. Serve him. Glorify him. All things the Lord might have said, but interestingly he said, "This is my Son whom I've chosen." Listen to him. Suddenly I'm thinking, okay, that's maybe a bit less active than I might have expected. Still something to do, but listen to him. Listening to Jesus is at the heart of what we see today. Actually, just prior, when Jesus has sent out the 72 disciples, they've gone on mission. These men and women have gone out taking the good news of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it. Wanted to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." To hear the teaching of Jesus puts you in the most privileged people of all history. In the Old Testament, prophets and kings longed for this direct revelation of God, but they didn't get it, or for the most part, many didn't. But now, in Jesus, this privilege of hearing from him, which is pictured in these two women. So let's look at the story itself. Verse 38 there. Jesus and disciples were on their way. Interestingly, in Luke, that at this point, that means on their way to the cross. Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. He's going to his death. He's got his face fixed on Jerusalem. On the way, he comes to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She welcomed him into her house. Actually, that was one of the kind of the marks when the 72 was sent out. If a village doesn't accept you, shake the dust off your feet. But if they welcome you, stay there. This is a wonderful thing for the traveling preacher, Jesus. She welcomed her home to him, provided hospitality. Actually, earlier, one of the Pharisees was criticized when Jesus came round to his house and he didn't wash his feet. He didn't give hospitality. So she does a wonderful thing in opening her home. She had a sister called Mary. I don't think this is Mary Magdalene, who we've met already. Mary's a common name. There's quite a lot of Marys in the Gospels. So I think for a long time, church thought these were the same two people. Probably not Mary Magdalene, but this is Mary and Martha, Mary of Bethany, as she's often known. So we got these two sisters, Martha and Mary. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Doesn't take long to read that, but in the culture of the day, that's shocking. I didn't realize this, but reading this week, that the houses back then could pretty much be divided into the male areas and the female areas. And the areas where the men sat, women wouldn't be in these areas unless they were serving or a prostitute. Those are basically, like, tragically, that was the society. And so Jesus would be sitting there teaching, and it would be the men sitting at his feet. And so there is a boldness to what Mary does, to presume that she might be a disciple. You see, sitting at someone's feet, that's the posture of a disciple. That's what, when Paul says, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the great rabbi. In other words, I learned from, like, he was my mentor. It's that kind of apprenticeship, mentor relationship. To sit at someone's feet is to be one of their disciples, and that's a wonderful thing. And Mary took that upon herself. The privilege. I think that's something I've been thinking about, that actually the privilege of learning from Jesus. If you, there are lots of walks of life, people have mentors, don't they? Someone who's kind of further on and takes someone under their wing and says, I'm going to show you the ropes, I'm going to help you in this. I've been watching every football documentary on the TV at present. I've pretty much watched it, preparing for the World Cup. But you sometimes see people speaking, when I was just a kid, so-and-so came alongside me and helped me and taught me so I could grow and develop. It's that kind of thing. That's what a disciple or a or a follower is like learning from someone. It's an amazing privilege. The rabbis of Jesus' day, you didn't just get to choose. I couldn't say, John Cook, I'm going to be your disciple. He'd say, son, that's for me to decide. That was how it works in the society. You didn't just get to say, I'm going to learn. No, the rabbis had to choose someone. Okay, here's someone I think is worthy of being my disciple. But with Jesus, this privilege is open. Mary comes and sits at his feet. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Distracted, she was pulled away. She was busy with other things, good things, preparations that needed to be made, serving, getting things ready. These aren't bad things. She's being hospitable. But interesting, she's distracted, she's pulled away. It feels a little bit like, you remember the parable of the sower, the seed that grows up but then is distracted and pulled away by the pleasures of this world. But amazingly here we see it's not just kind of the pleasures of this world that can pull us away from Jesus. It might even be the religious busyness of this world. The religious busyness of Park Street Church could pull us away from Jesus. Good things. But Martha was distracted. The word of God could be choked by Christian service even. Martha, she's distracted and she's grumpy. And I think her heart gets revealed here. She's not happy that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet while she's doing all the work. And she doesn't go to Mary quietly and say, come on, lots to be done. She goes to Jesus and she makes this a little bit public. Maybe she wants to be known for her service. Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me to do the work by myself. Maybe there's a little bit of the older brother. If you remember the parable of the prodigal son, with the younger brother who goes off, and then the older brother, all these years I've been slaving for you, and the younger brother's gone off. Maybe there's a sense of that. She's wanting to be known for her service. But perhaps also she sees it as service. That's her relationship to Jesus, is someone she must serve, someone she must slave for. And Jesus' words are astonishing. Wonderful. Martha, Martha. There's tenderness here. He's not condemning her. Calls her by name. But he presents her a better picture of the Christian life. You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and will not be taken away from her. One thing is necessary. Time with Jesus. Time with Jesus is more important than activity for Jesus. Interesting, just given what we said about gender roles in that society, Jesus is saying something very profound here. He accepts Mary as a learner, as a disciple. He doesn't say, Mary, women serve, men learn. That would have been probably the expected response. Jesus not saying that is vital for understanding the church. Mary is a disciple, not a servant. Mary learning, not a threat to Jesus' power or male power, but to be celebrated. Actually, men and women learning together wasn't the done thing in the day. But Jesus says, yeah, this is what my church looks like. I'm going to celebrate Mary. And let's remember who's listening in. Not just Martha. All the men in the room. Jesus is breaking down the stereotypes of the day and saying, men and women can be my disciples. Men and women can learn together. It's maybe a modern category, but we might almost go as far as to say, Jesus is saying theological education is for women as well as men. And having worked in theological education for a number of years, I was always delighted when that was the case. It wasn't just a male-dominated experience, but men and women learning together. Out of interest, Alicia Lauren have both recently been doing theological education of various kinds. Chat to them if you're a lady here and want to know what do opportunities and pathways look like. They'd be great people to speak to. Jesus busts open the wrong stereotypes of the day about men and women. But I think the point about learning is though it is for women, it is not just, I think this picture of Mary learning at Jesus' feet is for us all to learn from. That time with Jesus is the most important. And I think Jesus is saying, Martha, let me lift that burden from you. I don't think it's a Martha, what are you doing? I think it's a Martha, let me lift that from you. And maybe some of us busy, busy serving might need to hear Jesus say, whatever our name is, Martha, Martha. Many things, yes, many good things we could be doing. I mean, there's always more good things to be done in the world. But actually, here is my invitation. Sit at my feet, Jesus says. You see, Martha's distracted by all the serving that needs to be done. And maybe she's seeing herself as a servant in relation to Jesus. But what she's not doing is spending time with him. Well, who would spend time with him? A friend. Jesus is in her house, but I think she's relating to him as servant and teacher rather than a friend. He's come to her house and so she might spend time with him. And I wonder if, a bit like the older brother in the lost son parable, there are different ways to be lost. There's the kind of run off and squander all your money and kind of shake your fist at God way of the younger brother. But there's the older brother way, or perhaps the Martha way, which might be to be so distracted by Christian service because we kind of think God is distant and a little bit mean and we just need to serve him. If we think God is a distant master, that's how we'll relate. If we realize he's called us friends, we'll relate differently. So we'll have a right view of God, a right view of Jesus. You see, I said before, there's a boldness to what Mary did. I don't pick up here or anywhere in the Gospels about Mary that she's there going, I deserve this. I am one of the special ones. I deserve it. There's no sense of that. I think rather she recognizes who Jesus is and his grace, and therefore I get to do this. It's possible to come to God with a wrong kind of confidence saying, you are lucky to have me on your team. That's not here in Mary. Rather, this is the privilege I've been given, and I'm going to enjoy that. And so, as we're told to boldly come to the throne of grace, I think Mary is doing that. I think she's seen something of who Jesus is. And based on his goodness and grace, she's saying, I can have incredible boldness to come. We are friends of the King. No longer just servants, but friends. So time in God's word is time with our friend. I speak about this quite a lot, but I'm constantly reminded of that contrast between Pharaoh in the Old Testament and the Lord. Pharaoh, in beginning chapters of Exodus, who made the people his slaves so they could build him cities and storehouses and make him great. Pharaoh, this very sort of needy God figure, who just says, more bricks, work harder, slave for me. And then the Lord, who rescues his people from Egypt, and one of the first things he does is give them the command rest, the Sabbath commandment. Whatever we make of how that translates today, striking that the Lord says, I'm going to give you rest. That's the kind of God he is. I don't need you to serve me. I just want you to enjoy time with me. And again, maybe some of us need to just have that burden lifted. The Lord is not there thinking, what have you done for me today? Have you done enough? How's the to-do list coming on? By the way, I've got some things to add to it. No, we're not here to serve God. He came to serve us. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. If this is what our God is like, then this is what the Christian life is like. They're always related. Your view of God will always determine what service of that God looks like. I mean, you know, extreme example, you know, the Vikings with the Norse gods. They served these warrior gods who were all these macho figures in the sky. What does service of them look like? Plunder the world and, like, service is shaped by our view of God. If we realize Jesus is a servant God who came to serve his people, then the Christian life is not primarily what can we do for God, but enjoying, celebrating the freedom of what he's done for us. And so let's think, what might that wonderful invitation to be like Mary rather than Martha, what might that look like in just a couple of areas? First, I thought it'd be good to think about church. Time with Jesus in church. We call our meetings sometimes our church services. Maybe that's sort of the Anglican in me, but you know, the church services are at 10:30 in the morning and 4:30. Church service. We've got to call it something, but maybe that just keys us into, what are we coming to church to do? Is it to serve God in some way? No. Jesus would say, one thing is important, time with him. Sit at his feet. Hear good news. I normally handwrite my sermon, well, I always handwrite my sermon notes, but because of the youth and various things, I have to type them up and send them to various folks, which I don't normally do, but I wrote a typo, which no one's got back to me on yet, but it's quite a wonderful one, because I had the line, church is the best moment of the week. But just this morning, as I've looked over my now typed up notes, I realised I spelt that best moment of the week, W-E-A-K. And I thought, Lord, thank you. That's quite lovely. Church should be the best moment of our week. And it's the best moment for the week. Jesus says, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I pray that my heart, and maybe all our hearts, we might come to church, not with that anticipation of what am I going to be told off for? What am I going to be beaten up for? What am I going to be told I have to do? Rather, we come weary, and we sit at Christ's feet, and time with him changes everything. Not do this, do that, but this is what Christ has done. Not look at how sinful and miserable we all are, but look at how wonderful Christ is. I'm going to try to come to church with this attitude. This is sitting at Christ's feet, time with him, a wonderful privilege. And the same within daily life. Time in God's word, time in the presence of Jesus. Of course, for us, if we might say, it's even better than for people in Jesus' day because of God's Holy Spirit living within us if we're Christians. God is never far from us. And so if we choose to intentionally spend time with God, whether that's opening our Bible in the morning or listening to me in the car or prayer, whatever it is, I'm trying to tell myself, I get to do this. Not I must do this, I get to do this. If I'm having a busy day, then there's nothing that kind of energizes me more or feels more like me time than coffee and a pastry. A coffee and a pastry at 11:30 in the morning is just like that's. If I'm having a busy day, sometimes I'm just going to stop. Coffee and a pastry. Oh, okay, just that little bit of time without business, without computer, without this and that. Just refreshing, life-giving, and I think our time with the Lord should be more like that than, oh, that email I've got to answer, that thing that I put on the to-do list and the reminder that beeps on my phone of saying, you've not done this yet, you fool. You know, the kind of the aggressive email or kind of, or to-do list that we can have that kind of just feels burdensome. No, it's like coffee and pastry in a busy day. It's a time of rest, of refreshment. So I have given you some practical ideas on the sheet. Partly because I don't want to spend most of the time now talking about these, lest it feel like sneaking the to-do list in via the back door. The whole point is Jesus saying, actually we are freed from the burden of having to be so busy with so many things. And to remember that time with him is the great privilege that sustains us, that nourishes us. Here are a few ideas for that. But you might look at this list and think, nothing there applies to me. Fine. This is, it's like a little buffet table, and if there's not something there that suits, find something else. Chat to one another as well. There'll be so many people here in different situations who've worked out, here's what helps me spend time with Jesus regularly. Chat to someone. Chat to someone maybe in a similar position. I've been trying to talk to a few people in this week, preparing, just so I'm not kind of doing a one-size-fits-all. One of my friends got back to me, and she said, this is what time with Jesus looks like for me. Make a strong drink. I mean, I think she meant coffee. Read one sentence, get interrupted by the kids. Deal with that. Go back, read the same sentence again because I've been forgotten it, get interrupted again. Repeat until I run out of time and have to dash out the door. Like, life is interruptible. It's not... time with Jesus, we don't need to think this is only for the kind of Instagrammable, you know, beautiful location by a lake with a swan singing with a perfect drink and the kind of Bible. We can sometimes have wrong ideas. For lots of parents, the idea of a quiet time. Are you kidding me? Have you seen my household quiet? But Jesus never says it has to be quiet. And so some examples here. Maybe it's just that brief moment. I'm going to say for a minute. Maybe lock yourself in the loo. For a minute, I'm just going to go, Jesus, I'm in your presence. You've got this. Here's what's on my heart, maybe. Just maybe even that. A few things to think about. Chat to others. Lots of wisdom in the room. I think the thing I found most helpful is realizing it's not just about what we do. It's the way that we do it. I've got the song in my head. It ain't what we do, it's the way that we do it. You see, we can be Martha, busy, 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 or Mary, sit at Jesus' feet. I think even when we come to Bible study and prayer, there is a Martha-type way of coming to the to sort of doing our Bible study, doing our Bible readings, which is, right, what's the passage I've got to do today? Tick that off and kind of, got to get it right, mustn't make any theological errors. And we can come with such a busy mind that perhaps actually just that open, relaxed time with Jesus feels a little bit distant. That's certainly my danger. I've taught classes on how to read the Bible, and so maybe I come thinking, better not make any mistakes. And I think Jesus says to me, and maybe to all of us, just, Matt, sit at my feet. One thing is needed. Just sit at my feet. I'm not here looking to correct your theological mistakes. I'm not grumpy that you only read half the passage you were planning to read. I'm not upset that your prayers didn't use all the long words. Time in scripture, time praying, it's not that Martha busy. Sometimes wanting to be in control. Actually, sometimes we might just slow down and just say, Lord, I'm here with you. Something I've been just saying regularly this week, I think it's a line from the Anglican Communion service. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Even just recognizing that at the start of the day. Even just recognizing, okay, I'm about to set out into the day. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with me. Maybe just even that little time of recognizing, yet, Lord, I'm doing all this with you. Less is more so often. And so I wonder, just in the very last minute or so now, maybe we might just take a brief moment, even as we're hearing a sermon and perhaps thinking busy thoughts, just spend a moment just in conscious relationship with Jesus, sitting at his feet. And so maybe we'll take about a minute's quiet. If close your eyes, lower your gaze, whatever's helpful, look back to the passage. Maybe just think, what's Jesus been saying? Maybe what are the words of encouragement that we might hear? Maybe it's through the sermon, maybe it's through those wonderful words we've sung, the psalm, find rest, my soul, in God. Maybe if even now you're feeling distracted, don't worry about that. Just say, Jesus, I give you all that as well. Be aware that we are here and every day in the presence of our Lord who loves us, who is kind to us. I wonder what Christ has been saying to you in our time today. Maybe just take a moment to let those words sink in. Maybe just to thank him. Or any words you want to say back to our Lord. Let me close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you are so good to us. You came to serve. You came to carry our burdens. You came to bring rest. Jesus, thank you. Amen.